Okay, my name is Diane. I am a compulsive overeater, and I've been in the rooms since 1986, and the one thing I've done perfectly is I've never left. I'm down about 50 pounds from my top weight. My current abstinence is 6 years long. I've had several different abstinences along the way. And each time my program has gotten stronger and my food plan has gotten more specific. So I basically had to be very, very kind of what they call loose cloak in the beginning because I did not want to ever think I was on another diet. And that's anathema to me. The thought of dieting is anathema to me. I came into the rooms because I had, after a lifetime of eating, binging, going on a diet, losing 50, gaining 60, losing 60, gaining 70, etc. That was my pattern. Every single diet that was around in magazines at the checkout stand, a friend said, I did regular normal diets, which is, less food. I did starvation diets. I did shots. I did pills. I stole money to get pills. I went underground to get pills when some of the stuff was made illegal. My binging was the most disgusting thing. It was usually at least a full day and sometimes a week of nonstop eating in my bedroom with the door closed. With bags and boxes and salt all over my bed. It was craziness. There is a story I like to tell. I didn't like to experience it, I imagine, but I wasn't really around conscious for it. My mother said that I was a very hungry baby, and the doctor said she had to wait 4 hours to feed me, trying to get me on a schedule. She said, I started getting hungry at 2.5 hours. And I started crying then. And she stood outside my bedroom door with her fingers in her ears, with tears pouring down her face, because she couldn't feed me because the doctor said. And that hungry baby, who for an hour and a half each time didn't know anything except that they wanted that wonderful food that they were getting, and they wanted that hug that came with it, and they wanted to know that they were safe, because that's what all the infants need. Knew that for that hour and a half, that wasn't going to happen, and that has basically informed my life. It is why I binge. I don't anymore, by the way, but it's why I came into the rooms just nonstop binging. Because I couldn't get enough, because I knew that if I couldn't stuff myself as full as possible, it would be taken away from me and I would never get fed again. Infants don't know about the next time. Infants just know right now, food, hug, not coming, panic. And I've had trouble with other things for that same kind of thing. I hate standing on lines because when I go up to, I'm pretty sure that when I get up to the window, they'll shut the door. Sorry, we're out. I get panicky when the waitress doesn't come fast enough. When no one seems to be listening to me or hearing me or fixing the things that are wrong with me. Now, I say this in the present tense, but the bottom line is most of those things aren't around anymore because of working this program. For what is it, 39 years? In next month, it's going to be 39 years. Yeah. So you do the work in the program, it works. I mean, it really does. And I came here finally after I was in love. Oh, I had married, divorced, I had two wonderful children, I had a successful career, and I'd met the man I was going to grow old with. And we were engaged, and I had a fabulous ring, and all of this stupid stuff. Okay. And we were, he was helping me because I was heavy again. And he was helping me with going to a particular diet and exercise thing because we were going to do this and we were starting it. And I knew in my heart, to the bottom of my soul, that this was going to be the one that was going to finally fix it. I was finally, finally going to get down to the weight that I wanted, where I considered myself attractive. And I was finally not going to have to struggle with all this anymore. And it was because, after all, I had everything else that I needed. And I lasted 2 hours. I was binging after 2 hours. And I'd been to OA once before, 3 years earlier. I'd walked into the room, heard the God stuff, and left, because I'm basically an atheist, as far as a capital G God that runs the world. I'm not that anymore again. These are all things that are not true anymore. But this is how I came in. And I came in, and that particular time I came in, and I heard my story. And what my story was, that I was so deeply ashamed of the way I ate. And I did it in secret. I did it under the covers. I did it in closets and locked bathrooms. I snuck food. I stole food. But I didn't talk about it. I kidded the little people. You know, I'm a little overweight. I have an hourglass figure. It's just a larger hourglass than usual. But I didn't let people in on what I was doing to myself. I had two friends who were my binge buddies. Those are the people that knew. I didn't understand that my shame, that I thought made me unique in the world, was common in the rooms. That other people had this kind of shame also. That other people were... were not able to like themselves, in fact, hated themselves because of this food thing. This food thing. I was born into a family of people that are quite smart, and I have a really good brain. And I could not figure out why this very good brain could not help me lose weight and keep it off. I had therapy on and off my whole life. I came to each new therapist saying, I can't keep weight off. I diet and then I put it right back on. I don't know what's wrong. Fix me, fix me. Well, it was very helpful, the therapy. I got all kinds of information about myself, such as, you know, why I had trouble with men. My father, yes, he was angry. He was difficult. Yeah. We had this and the fear of success and fear of da-da-da. Good, da-da-da-da. Keep going. All of those things. Not one of them was able to tell me how to lose weight and keep it off. None of them. And when I came in the rooms, I realized that I had people who were just like me. People who were sick in the head when it came to food, who were sick in the head when it came to binging or anorexia, using lack of food to control. It's always about control, right? We want to control our lives. It's not easy. We want to control the food. We want to control this voice in our heads that keeps saying, just a little more. It's okay, you can have a little more. And that's the sirens outside my window. By the way, I live in Washington, D.C. right now, but I lived in L.A. for years and years and years, and I'm heartsick over what's going on, and I've been to the birthday party lots of times, so I know why people are there, because it's great. Anyway, I came into the rooms and I started working with people, but I did not believe in God. So I thought, I kept saying, well, I'm going to give you step one because I know I'm powerless. This brain couldn't figure it out. I'm powerless. I am powerless. I can't do this. Now, having something higher than me that could maybe help me, not so much. Maybe, I don't know, I did the work, I did the steps. I had successful food plans. My first period of abstinence, which was for 12 years, did not happen until I'd been in the rooms 10 years. So nothing came easily or naturally to me. I would put together some abstinence. I maybe had 3 months or 6 months or even maybe a couple of years, but then bam, bam. And a lot of it was the sugar. The sugar was the thing. And what happened that started that wonderful period of 12 years was that I was at my workplace and people had been sending all kinds of goodies for Christmas. Okay. Has anybody told me it's 5 minutes yet, or
you have 5 minutes, and then when this timer goes off, you'll have 5 minutes remaining.
Oh, okay. So in other words, I'm almost at the first 5 minutes.
You completed the first 5 minutes. You have a
I didn't. 10 minutes. I didn't. Okay, oh, I didn't hear.
There's a digital timer up, and it sounds at 5 minutes.
Okay, will you just
10 minutes?
Will you just interrupt and say the time when it's time? So, because I did not hear that. Thank you. So anyway, I was at this Christmas. It was Christmas, and they had all this stuff in the kitchen. And you go in, and I brought a special paper bag with me, and I had it with me, and I was doing this, taking these goodies, these every single bit of Christmas goodies I could, because I was going to eat it in the car on the way home, because I don't want my family to see it. And this voice came to me. It wasn't an actual out loud voice, but it was a voice. And it said, if you eat that, you are never going to stop. It was that calm, that clear. And that was the beginning of my first long-term abstinence, which was I gave up sugar, which was big and important. There's other things that also I can binge on, but that was the big one. It's also around that time I had a dream, and a thing that I call my higher power came to me in the dream. And it stayed with me ever since. And it's a female, very vague form, very vague, robed sort of like biblical days, but again, very vague. And she's calm, and she loves me unconditionally, and she guides me gently. She never judges, she never punishes, and she's always there for me. And after about another 10 years with this higher power working, but not a lot, I started writing letters to her in the morning. I think they call it two-way prayer now, but we didn't have that name. I started writing letters to her in the morning, and she would answer me. She would answer me. And when I tell you, it isn't me that's answering me, it's whatever this is. Oh, stop. Anyway, it's gone on and on and on, and it is the secret to my success now, which is that I have finally accepted step three. I finally have an entity that I can pray to, that I can do my six and seven step with, that I can call on when I have dis-ease in my head and my heart. I have a list since the fourth step and my first sponsor that helped me during my fifth step. I have a list of character defects that pop up. They are, by the way, arrogance and pride, fear, procrastination, defiance, defensiveness, denial, self-loathing, judgmentalism, complacency, comparison, and impatience. And those things pop up. They still do, of course. We're human beings. We're not perfect. They pop up, but what the good thing about this program is, every single time it pops up, I go, oh, there's that one. Instead of, Diane, how could you? It's a whole other voice. I accept that I have these things that pop up. A sudden rage will come up, or I'm feeling like I want to fight with somebody. Ah, that's defensiveness. And then I get to use the program to ask my higher power to remove that so I can continue with my day. These letters that I write for the last 5 years or so, it's every single morning. I don't feel right if I don't write the letter, and I don't feel right if she doesn't answer me. And what she says every single morning, apart from other things, is, I am always with you. I never leave you.
Diane, that's 15.
That's 15?
Yeah, you have 5 minutes remaining.
Okay, thank you. What this does for me, and I will wrap up with this, is it's gotten me into a habit. An actual muscle has been exercised, and it's now a habit of knowing that I'm never alone, that I'm never alone. And I'm calmer, I'm nicer. Everybody says I'm kinder, more thoughtful. I'm definitely calm is important. I don't get crazy anymore. I just don't. And I love everybody. I really do. And when I don't love them, I tolerate them, which is fine. And I'm never alone. I think she's kind of the perfect mother, the mother we none of us ever got to have, because even the most loving mother can never give you 100% of her attention. Can't do it. Life gets in the way. So, I love this program. I pray and meditate every morning, write my letter to my higher power. I share on Voices of Recovery. I take sponsee calls at night. I do 10 steps, which I send to my sponsor, and I go to 3 meetings a week. And that's the minimum that I do, because if I don't work hard and keep up, I'm out the door into the sugar again, which I intend not to be. So that's all, I think. Thank you for letting me share.